on the Koshcast. Mourinho's meltdown maintained as West Ham continue their voodoo magic over the big boys. Staying in London, Arsenal recover from their Bayern adventure to beat Everton, who haven't won away to Arsenal in 20 years. Speaking of records, Sunderland have once again replaced their manager and promptly won the Tyne-Wear Derby. The plan is just completely foolproof. Meanwhile in Manchester, United and City spend 90 minutes on the most boring draw since my grade 8 sketch of an apple. And in Spain, the big two also face each other. Yes, Celta and Real Madrid. Mumu of the week and a Toronto FC preview round us off. ¡Vamos! Welcome to the Koshcast on underthekoshblog.com. I am here with Mohamed Kher and Roche Rana. How are you boys?
Great, you said my name perfectly.
Thanks, man. Yeah. I've been practicing my Egyptian.
Your
Yeah,
I'm really flattered. It was a real great introduction, Alex. I'm glad to be here on the podcast with my two pundits.
And your United shirt firmly in place.
Yeah, you know, the shirt is a little more exciting than the game I watched, unfortunately.
Well, we might be playing in a more exciting game later on tonight. We're playing our first game in our co-ed indoor league.
Yeah, I mean, last year was a lot of fun. I'm actually looking forward to it. I never got into the whole co-ed thing, but you insisted on us having a team last season, and, you know, it turned out well.
I'll be playing up top as the lone striker. I'll do a better job than Giroud.
You're going to be the lamppost?
It's going to be our year, and we're going to win the league.
Last season, we did have a player who took his glasses off before each game, and we didn't realise till halfway through the season, but he couldn't see what was going on. So he tried really hard. It was a really valiant effort, but he couldn't see anything.
Probably explains his mazy runs into nowhere.
This is off the ball. Anyway, Premiership?
Yeah. Let's start somewhere different today. Sunderland-Newcastle.
Yes.
I mean, I was looking forward to this game, to be honest, except it was the earliest game possible. It was like at 8 a.m. or something.
Eastern.
Yes, Eastern time. But we all, to be fair, and this is not hindsight, we predicted Sunderland would win this one and continue the trend, which was sack your manager right before the derby, get a new manager, win the game, and it's been happening for 6 games in a row now.
Every season, they do this. It's almost as if it's the only thing they care about winning. It's
absolutely.
Like, let's make sure we've got a good manager in place for this game.
This is exactly what Sunderland are built to do. And because of this, I think they're banging form. They're where they should be. They're banging form, doing exactly what Sunderland does best. Sack their manager before the Tyne-Wear Derby, an extremely English affair.
Yep, so Big Sam took over.
Mm.
To be fair, the first half, it looked like Newcastle should be coming out of that 3-0 up.
Newcastle are a better team. They have better players. There's no, I mean, anyway.
And then Colaccini concedes a penalty.
Mm.
Do you think that was harsh?
That's the thing. It's weird. I think by the laws, it's a penalty. He does kind of just come charging at the player, doesn't care for the ball whatsoever, elbow comes out a bit. The whole shoulder-to-shoulder thing doesn't stand anymore as it did a few years back. But to also get a red for it, I don't know. The whole
last man foul, arguable, a bit harsh, to be honest.
A little bit.
If that was a goalkeeper foul, like, I think it would be a yellow card and a penalty.
Right.
This is the thing. Yes, by the letter of the law, I guess it was a red card if you deem it a foul, which I think is still debatable. But the red card on top of the penalty was just too much. And this is something we've talked about before, especially when it happens with the goalkeeper, is that it's not necessary to punish a team twice.
Yes.
And then he's suspended.
Right.
So it's almost 3 punishments.
So Adam Johnson played. He scored the penalty. Obviously, the fans were having a lot of fun with him on the field with a chance. And
first touch of a...
Yes, exactly. So it wasn't pretty for him, but he did score a goal. And the fans had another great chant, which you know, the Sunderland fans were saying, can we play you every week? Because to be honest, they have beaten them 6 times in a row. They'd be like top of the league right now.
They would play Newcastle
every time.
Then they'd be banging form.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So great 3 points for Big Sam to start his Sunderland adventure.
I wonder if Big Sam put on a good PowerPoint presentation for his players before this game.
Yeah, this is where I won the ball in the net.
Yes.
Yeah.
The ball and the goal.
Yes.
And kick.
And even more remarkably, guys, a clean sheet featuring Yunus Kabul,
who assisted in an Ozil-esque fashion. It was brilliant.
Bright things
best
ahead.
Day of his life.
Yeah. Bright days ahead for Sunderland.
So let's see if Sunderland managed to not get relegated again this season.
Sam Allardyce doesn't do relegation.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah.
On the other end of the table, United City, which was, touted to be the game of the week, unfortunately was a drab.
Yeah, it's unfortunate to see such a big game turn into a 0-0 draw with hardly any chances for either team. But to be fair, I think Alex and I had spoken about this off air. I think we mentioned that there were some big midweek games in the Champions League that might have been, you know, where they spent most of their energy. Right. Some of the same players were playing two games in a week.
Right, and then also, I mean, City were missing a lot of their creative force up front. They were missing Silva, Aguero, Sterling. When I was watching the game, I thought he looked a bit like Walcott a few years back.
Mm.
Bad decision making, bad touches, just erratic. He wasn't.
To be fair, in Sterling's defense, and I don't know if this is in Sterling's defense, because I think Valencia absolutely put him in his back pocket.
Valencia
no question asked
well.
There.
Valencia played well. De Bruyne tried.
Yeah. I think the thing with Sterling is, and it's tricky, because the problem with him at Liverpool in the last season was that he was very much looked to and relied upon as the star man. They looked to him for a piece of magic, open a game up, etc. And the good thing for him about moving to City is that there are so many other players there that can do that, that it reduces the weight of expectation on Sterling. But at the moment, with Silva out, with Aguero out, with Boney playing up front, that expectation is almost back on him as the kind of the lead attacking midfielder.
Absolutely. I think this game was a game of two defensive units playing. No attack for either team.
The only shot on target came in the very end of the game from Smalling from a corner which Hart made the save. That was the only shot on target all game.
It's a good save, too.
The Lingard crossbar attempt.
Yeah, they don't count that as on target.
I still think
that was the best chance of the game.
I still think that the overall flow of the game favored United, because you don't often see City's midfield being overrun. Or dominated 63-37.
Schweinsteiger played well.
Yeah.
He kept the ball ticking. He kept it going. Martial was really giving Sané a hard time on the left. He played extremely well. Rooney, though.
Garbage.
He had an unbelievably poor game. He tries. The thing with him is he's trying. He's not sulking. But it's not happening for him. His pass percentage was worse than both keepers. It was
enough. Rooney was not in the game today. It was his birthday yesterday. I don't know if he had a big party. He drank a lot today. It's hard to say. But one thing that has remained consistent is Rooney's poor form this season. He looks a bit tired, sluggish, off the ball. It doesn't look sharp.
If anything, he's been the most consistent player in the league.
That's true.
You can say that, yes.
But I think this kind of leads us somewhere that we want to go, which is a debate about Van Gaal. I was reading our friend Ken Frampton's piece that he put up right after the game, and he was saying, and I know Bernie agrees with this, he's very unhappy with Van Gaal. He sees some of the progress that's been made, but this refusal to drop a very clearly out-of-form Wayne Rooney is something that's really angering him and other United fans. Now, Mohamed, before we came on air, you were talking about a set of games that Manchester United have played this season that have turned out to be the most boring games in the league.
Yep.
The common denominator being
United. I mean, it seems like Van Gaal goes into the quote-unquote bigger games really kind of not adventurous enough. Against Spurs, the first game of the season, it was horrendously boring. Against Liverpool, it was really bad. City today. So, against United, it was exciting only because United completely dominated them. So I don't know why the adventure isn't there. I think Rooney is part of it too, because he's not creating enough chance. He doesn't hold the ball up, give people time to create attacks. The attack just dies really quick.
I fully have to agree, because yes, there have been several big games that have been boring. I feel that it's a bit unfair to blame Van Gaal, because in attack, in fairness, his options are limited. He bought Martial, which is probably one of the better signings,
yeah.
One of the more creative players that exists right now on this team. Memphis Depay struggled to adapt. Rooney is bang out of form.
I mean, I think what would help you is if you get Depay playing on the left the same way Martial is now, and then Martial moves up, I think all of a sudden your team looks infinitely better. But is he going to drop his captain who makes 300K
and
a week?
That's the question. If he drops Rooney and makes this small adjustment, things could actually be much better in attack for United.
They
don't think Van Gaal is to blame for these current, the form.
He's still getting the points, to be fair. He's still up there.
For the most part, yes. But as you said, in the bigger games, he's disappointed. I mean, we didn't even mention the Arsenal game, where United just got blown apart. But, I mean, you say that he doesn't have options, and I think to an extent you're right. But let's say you put Mata in the middle, in the number 10 position.
Martial
up front, Depay, and maybe Young.
Valencia,
even Valencia. Like, there are options that he could try. And I think United fans just want to see an alternative being tried out.
See, the problem is, we're only talking about bad performances in terms of it being boring, but in terms of points, you can't blame him for not changing it. Because
they've also gone on a streak with three goals a game.
He's second in the league or whatever it is right now, or third, and he's doing well in terms of the points. So it's hard to change it when it's quote-unquote working, but fans want to see more flair football.
Yeah, sure. To be fair, it's also been a strange season to date. Chelsea are fighting for relegation. Liverpool can't get a point even with Klopp coming in.
Yeah.
And it's just been difficult. Leicester City, West Ham.
It is a difficult league. You're right.
A lot of unknown variables are going around. And so we should maybe look at the positives rather than negatives.
So with that United City draw, the winner out of that are the Arsenal fans, who are now top of the league because of their win against Everton 2-1. Mm-hmm. City might be on goal difference.
Yes.
Okay, but they're tied top of the league. It was a good performance from Arsenal to beat Everton after the hard midweek game against Bayern Munich where they won. A lot of energy was used up there.
Both emotional and physical.
Yes, and you could see it at the end of the Everton game. It was just like the last 20 minutes was, let's just get through this.
Yeah, I mean, I'm jumping ahead here and we'll go backwards, but right, my favourite moment of this whole game was not the goals, was not Peter Cech's saves. It was in the 92nd minute when Lukaku's through on goal. Gabriel performs a brilliant sliding tackle and gets up and celebrates on his own himself.
We were watching that together. We
just gives a fist pump.
Yeah.
Absolutely big week for Arsenal. I can't... and you Arsenal fans, you should be a little more excited and proud of your team.
Definitely. I mean, Arsene Wenger's doing a great job so far this season. And he's also rotating very well. So Ramsey obviously is injured. Ox played. He didn't have his best game. But
he really didn't.
He did rest Walcott. Played Giroud up front, which, to be fair, deserves a start. He has like 4 goals and 5 for Arsenal right now.
Yeah.
He played really well. He gave us that extra dimension. He scored with a header. Ozil's brilliant assist into the box. The other one was
two
like
goals in 2 minutes for Arsenal.
Both
brilliant
headers,
crosses,
too.
Yeah.
Both headers.
I have to say, sorry, Alex, before you begin, I just want to say that win against Bayern Munich in midweek, with the two scrappy goals you scored, it shows that Arsenal are really a team that's down for a dogfight this season.
It shows that Wenger's also adapting.
Yeah.
I think that's right. And I think if you look at some of the performances of players like Monreal, Coquelin, Bellerin, I mean, Koscielny against Bayern Munich and again against Everton has been unbelievable.
And some of these players are very new to the team.
Yeah, exactly. And it's very impressive what they're doing right now. And as you were talking about Giroud, I think that was what we saw from him against Everton was something that a lot of people complained about not seeing before, which is that for a big guy, he doesn't put himself about a bit, he doesn't win enough headers, he doesn't bring the ball down enough, and that yesterday he won everything.
See, that's exactly why I think Giroud had a good game, is because he stopped trying to be an Aguero, do the little flicks and tricks,
well,
get past players.
There was a bit of that.
Sure, but overall, he did what he should do as a big man. And what someone pointed out, I think it was on Twitter I saw it, and it was quite interesting, which was Giroud, his role demands a lot of physicality, and it takes its toll. So I think when we see Giroud rested, he comes back really well. Giroud's stats for Arsenal are unbelievable.
Very,
in like 140 games, he has something like, I don't know, it's a lot. It's like a combination of 60 to 70 assists and goals.
Well,
like,
he gets 20-something goals a season. And
he has the most after Aguero since he joined the league. So credit to him. He played very well. And the one thing I pointed out was he kept possession from the long ball so much that we could have had way more Everton chances against Arsenal, which would have created way more percentage chances for them to score a goal. And
absolutely,
he stopped that.
Question to all our listeners, as well as Mahanad, mainly Mahanad, is Giroud a world-class player?
Of course not. He's not a world-class
honestly,
player.
Not.
But he will, you know, he does a job. And when he does it better than a lot of people.
It's true. And we should talk about Everton for a minute, too. Tim Howard, we talked about him before the season, and we'll get to him, I think, later as well. But he was rubbish again. On the two goals, he was in no man's land. He didn't decide to come and punch. He didn't decide to stay on his line and save. And disappointing.
In contrast with that, you have Cech at the other end, who in the 90-something minute with an unbelievable 1-on-1 save, which I thought was such a world-class save. I mean, that was no fluke. He went to his left. He read the attacker's body. And you know what? He's saving us points now. Bayern Munich, this game, he's saving us a lot
Petr
of points.
Cech is one of the biggest factors in Arsenal's season so far is Petr Cech. The team has confidence that the goalie's going to keep some shots out.
Yeah, he's the only signing we've made.
The back five does look incredibly strong. But just to finish up on Everton, I think we've seen them play very well this season, and we saw here what they're capable of in kind of fits and bursts, but they give the ball away so much.
Barry's legs are gone. Yeah.
Barkley, clearly very talented, but just gives the ball away so much.
De La Feo
was awful. He was
did you see his dive?
A number of times I said to Mohamed, we're very lucky today that De La Feo is not very good.
Yes.
And you can see why he failed at Barcelona and Sevilla.
Yeah.
Like, there's talent there, but he's not using it in the right way. One person who did use it in the right way, and we can probably end on Everton here, is Galloway. He was very impressive.
Oh, Galloway was great at left back. He I mean, Ox was bad, but Gallo was also very good. He also kept Bellerin under wraps for long periods of the game. He actually played incredibly well. Galloway had a few shots and a goal as well. Like, he tried, like, he did his best, and he's playing well. It's not easy to replace Baines, who is probably Everton's best player when they're all in form, I'd say.
Yeah.
So, I mean, good job to him. So, we'll see where Everton end the season. I mean, Europa League spot, maybe, but I think more mid-table.
Yeah, that or just beneath.
Somewhere between 6 and 10.
Yeah.
Seems reasonable.
Yeah, that's a good shout.
I'm not betting against it. No $30.
Elsewhere in Liverpool,
on the Mersey.
On the Mersey side.
Klopp's still looking for his first win.
Yes,
yeah.
But he got his first lead as a manager.
Yeah.
So Liverpool went 1-0 up against Southampton. Benteke with a brilliant header, who came on at halftime to replace Origi.
Thank God. Divock Origi should not have been starting, but it was good to see Benteke, one of the, you know, the signings that they made. A very good striker.
Yeah.
And he scores with some powerful
Milner with
muscles.
Milner with a great cross, to be honest.
Milner played well.
Yeah.
He has been recently, actually.
Yeah. Southampton also didn't look bad. I mean, Mane and Pele as a duo look very good. And Tadic in there as well as a third guy. They look like they really understand each other. And with a few less bad touches here and there, Southampton could have had a couple more goals.
And, you know, on the subject of Liverpool looking for their first win, I wouldn't be too harsh on Klopp yet.
Yeah.
Because Southampton are a very good team.
Oh, well, we can't say he's rubbish? Is it too early?
It is way too
Klopp's
early.
Klopp's a fraud.
Well,
he's a fraud abroad.
The thing is, when I was watching the Liverpool game, is you could clearly see that the Liverpool players were trying so hard to reenact practice. They were trying really hard to reenact what Klopp is saying and to do things the way he wants them, which is great, but they were missing that kind of
spontaneity.
And just not enough on the ball, not enough kind of being creative on the spot. They're just doing what he says, which is move the ball, bring it wide, do the things, but slowly that will come, and he will slowly also get the players in that he thinks will be able to fulfill that.
Yes, I think he's coming with a long-term perspective. And so you're not going to see like a big Sam, all right, let's just lump the ball up front, everyone try to score a goal at the same time. You're going to see Liverpool try to play a very systematic, pragmatic approach. And
that
that's
in,
exactly, it's
going
to take some time.
PowerPoint.
Yeah.
You just have a picture of the ball in the air. It moves towards the goal.
And a little image of Kevin Nolan.
I like the idea of Big Sam with a laser pointer and his team, his 11 are just cats.
I still don't think that Big Sam knows how to use an email.
No, probably not.
No.
Or his printer, because apparently Nolan helps him.
No, true.
Southampton, we forgot to say, scored the equalizer 1-1.
Mane deserved it.
He's an unbelievable player. He's playing really well, but he did get sent off right after, so my fantasy points are useless.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a shame.
No. Two yellows.
Two
yellows as opposed to a straight red.
Yeah. One game suspension. Whatever, not too bad.
You know, it was nice to see Jordi Clasi in the midfield for Southampton, because they bought him in the summer to replace Schneiderlin and then haven't been able to play him because he immediately got injured. He adds some steel. He's a bit of a thug.
Wanyama today was unbelievable.
He's been very good.
He has just been running around, cutting out everything. And speaking of Clasi, you know who he reminds me of? He looks like that Liverpool guy. Also bald, kind of short.
Rossiter?
No. Recently.
What?
Went to Bolton after.
Oh, I know who you're talking. Jay Spearing.
Yes, the bulldog.
Yes.
Ooh,
Jay
he looks
Spearing.
Just like him.
Hopefully he doesn't sound
Ronald
like
Koeman, by the way. Southampton are a force under this man.
Yeah.
They're a mid to upper mid-table force.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, we remember when they sold all their players recently, we thought this is going to be bad. But then he made some great signings.
He did.
So. Didn't he make a signing that he's not playing at all? What's his name?
Who?
The Dutch dude.
Klasi. I think Klasi.
No. Didn't he sound like a winger, a Dutch winger? He's not playing at all.
Are you talking about Elia?
Yeah.
No, he left.
He left?
They only got him for like 6 months.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Was that a loan?
I think he was free. I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe
I remember him. I was like, where the hell is he?
Yeah.
Anyways, cool. Chelsea.
Elusive Elia.
Speaking of Big Sam and, you know, West Big Sam's
previous club.
Yes. And Bilic, his successor, is doing unbelievably well.
Unbelievably.
Oh, all right.
Jinx.
Okay, both of you can't speak to us. Say
Alex,
your name.
This is Alex's influence.
All right.
Upon us.
He does his puns rub on us.
Humberto Silva.
Wow.
Yes. So West Ham beat Chelsea 2-1, and that was an unbelievable scoreline to add to the wins at Liverpool, Arsenal, and City.
While we're talking about unbelievable, Zarate, I think, has 5 goals in 6 appearances or something like that. 4 and 5, something mental.
Yeah, Payet is playing unbelievably well. Lanzini is looking really good.
Nicked him out of the Arab Emirates, and here he is.
Yeah, so Matic got a red at the end of the first half.
Two bookable offences in 10 minutes.
Yes, that was...
Mourinho got himself sent off, trying to storm the referee cabin.
Yeah, he tried to take one of them hostage.
Well, no, so Yeah, that's very possible. He's still got him.
Goal line technology is also some sort of conspiracy against Mourinho.
Well, let's talk about that.
The line is too thick.
Since the
who
technology,
painted these lines?
Yes.
Who owns the company?
Yeah.
But since the technology came in, like, that's the closest I think we've seen to a goal.
Oh, that
and,
was
and
that
proper. This is exactly why it should be there.
Hairline.
The truth has been told.
Yes.
It's hairline.
Yeah,
it's
you can't argue with it.
No.
But... Yeah, so apparently Mourinho got invited to the referee's office at halftime, I assume to explain something or to
I don't
show
think
him
he was
the video.
Invited.
No, no, he was.
Okay.
To show him the video of the goal line technology or something. But clearly an argument ensued there or a hostage taking or something.
But what argument? It's a clip of the ball not crossing the
line. I think he might have said,
the,
you know, the TV is not an HD.
Right,
maybe,
yes.
You know,
this isn't a look at the turf. But there was also the Fabregas offside, which was marginal.
Oh, that one too, yeah. I mean, Fabregas
he
was,
finished. He was offside, to be fair.
His
maybe.
Knee was.
The call
mean,
was
it's
correct.
It's playable. You can play the ball with your knee. It's offside.
People score
I
goals
guess.
With their knees. Yeah.
I think if whoever you support, if that happens
yes.
to you, you're
yes.
going to say that's a
but project. Fabregas, to be fair, his finish was fantastic.
Oh,
the goalie
yeah.
was beat.
It was the best thing he's done all season, which
yes.
is a shame.
Which
him.
Is not hard to do.
Yeah, definitely things going against Chelsea.
Cahill,
sure.
Cahill scored the 1-1. Good. Well, no, it wasn't a header. Was it?
It was a good finish.
Yeah, it was a good finish. And then the horse, Andy Carroll.
Yes.
Clocked
on.
To
yes.
be fair, he was climbing on top of Azpilicueta.
Great.
Which maybe
is...
coming up to his shoulder.
Yeah, which is what you do. Yeah, the horse.
But you know what? The type of goals that West Ham scored to win this game just show how bad Chelsea's defense is.
Mm.
Because if you look at the Chelsea players, when the ball is crossed in for the second goal, Willian is standing
ball
still.
Ball watching.
So
yeah.
is whoever the attacker was. There are two players standing still. And,
yeah.
and Andy Carroll is left alone against Azpilicueta.
That's
just, that is a crime.
I refuse to allow you to criticize Willian.
Yeah.
He can't do anything wrong for me. He's been so good this. He's the only one that actually makes anything
he's
happen.
Okay, to be fair, Willian is pointing at the ball. And who he's telling someone to go and defend.
See?
He's,
so he's doing other people's
delegating.
He's doing due diligence.
Captain
material.
Yep.
A couple of other games to go through really quickly. Bournemouth 1, Spurs 5.
Bournemouth were so bad.
They were.
It's not even funny.
And we said this last week about Bournemouth. They lost their 6
Hang
best
on.
Players.
Bournemouth.
You know what? We all got our own style.
I say
one for Van Gaal speaks his own way, and so do I.
Yeah. So
but
try again.
Bournemouth.
Yeah.
He's just changed the spelling.
Nice.
Bournemouth.
Okay.
Anyway,
continue.
To be fair, they've lost all their best players.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And here we go. Harry Kane just scored a hat-trick.
But it's no more about them. It's about how bad Sunderland and Aston Villa and Newcastle could do as well.
Yeah, this is
so.
The thing. No, but honestly, when I say they were bad today, they were tragic.
Well,
I mean,
they were.
Arthur Boric spilled 3 goals straight into the path of Tottenham players.
Yeah.
I mean, they had 3 tap-ins.
I mean, when Harry Kane
got.
Scores a hat-trick against you and he's barely been able to pass a ball this season, you know you've played bad. So, yeah, Harry Kane scored a hat-trick. So
even Moussa Dembele scored today. That's how bad this was. And then managed to get somewhat injured in the process, which is about the most Dembele thing anyone could do.
But the thing we get out of this game is that England now are clearly favourites for the Euros and the World Cup.
Oh, stop it. I don't even want to talk about the English.
Dele Alli,
team.
Harry Kane,
yeah,
Danny
like,
Rose.
Or, I mean, that's what's his name's even on the bench, Mason. I mean, they didn't even
yeah.
bring on
you
Mason,
know,
imagine.
You know what,
well, no,
Roy Hodgson is sitting somewhere in a room with his Morse code, sending a message to pick up his next 11 for the next English match.
Well, one thing I want to do is put together a compilation of Arthur Boric. Because if you remember when he played for Southampton,
yes,
he tried the Cruyff turn and Giroud nicked it from him and scored. And today, it was even better. And I just think his highlight reel must be outstanding.
I agree. He's been pretty bad. Couple more. Villa 1, Swansea 2. The Ayew brothers both scoring, Jordan and Andre. But Andre getting the upper hand with his winning goal.
By playing for a better team.
And not only did his brother lose the game, he also lost his manager.
Hooray!
Nothing says Aston Villa more than the manager being sacked, but Brad Guzan just yelling at his defense
yeah.
after conceding a goal.
Yeah, Brad Guzan was quite bad. But Sigurdsson scored a brilliant free kick.
Oh, it was
but
brilliant.
It just looked like Guzan had like 10 minutes to sort out his feet, which he decided not to do. It felt like he could have easily
yeah.
gotten the ball was so far out.
It was so far out.
Yeah.
And it takes a while for the ball
yes.
to come to the goal.
Okay, to be
you know exactly which corner he's going for.
No, but you don't.
No, but it's way too far to even, like, you don't need to guess. You can see it coming, like,
Guzan has picked a side. He's standing at that side. The ball is 30 yards out. He's not going to beat him for pace as a near
yes.
But here's the thing. Once you see it over the wall, like, the first half of the ball's journey, you don't see it.
You
it's
know
only
what?
After it goes, so he doesn't have that much
you're
time.
You're both right, but just this particular clip, it looked like he stood there motionless for way too long.
Sure.
Anyway,
it's just not
maybe
that good
he is. Maybe Brad Guzan is Voldemort. He's tried to search for his magic wand.
I thought that
to
was Steve
Bold.
No, it wasn't. It was Shelby is Voldemort.
Oh,
yes.
Voldemort versus Voldemort.
Get your
so
Harry Potter's right. Leicester and Crystal Palace. Oh God, we're gonna talk about this because Roche's in love right now. Roche, tell us who scored.
Jamie Vardy, the best English striker in today's game.
Agreed.
Yes.
Okay.
And there's an interesting stat going around for the European Golden Shoe right now,
mm-hmm.
where Aubameyang, Lewandowski, Vardy, Neymar.
Sure, that's not a typo.
And I believe, you know, it doesn't even matter who else is in there, but Vardy is amongst the European Golden Shoe contenders.
Might be Russell Martin.
And possible. But based on his current form, like, Jamie Vardy deserves a real honorable shout out.
He does, which we almost do every week, to be fair.
And we had an off the air, brutal argument about whether or not he's world class. And you know what? I do agree. It's a bit early and a bit unreasonable.
Yeah, just a bit.
It's a bit unreasonable to say that he's a world class player, but he is currently on world class form.
Fine.
Especially with the Leicester City factor.
Fine.
I don't think that is a factor, though.
If I had Mahrez giving me those balls, man, I would be scoring goals too. To be honest, Mahrez is another one that needs a shout out. He's been playing amazing. He's getting all the assists. He got the assist for this goal.
Yeah.
And as Leicester City as a whole, great 3 points against Crystal Palace, because Crystal Palace are going to be one of the tougher games of the season.
Yeah, Breda Hangeland must feel like a right idiot, because that was just horrendous.
Yeah, he was, wow. But the way Vardy dinked it around the keeper.
Oh, it was lovely.
Like, he could have easily shot. Oh, man, it was like Messi Arsenal stuff. It was fantastic.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
It was an impressive finish.
Yeah.
And there is quality. It's not like Vardy's getting these Lampard kind of goals in the box, you know. He's taking a run at the goal, he's finishing it.
No, he's doing a lot of good stuff. Stoke 0, Watford 2. Watford? You guys just, if people don't
you
know,
say Watford,
yeah,
I say Bournemouth.
That's the thing. They
doesn't
made
matter.
A lot of fun of me for saying Watford last pod, so I'm going to emphasize
keep
it.
Keep doing it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Great 3 points for Watford here. beating Stoke 2-0. Deeney scoring his first Premier League goal, which is fantastic for him, but Ighalo. Two assists. He had a brilliant game. Unbelievable.
He did. It's a good old-fashioned front two, Clive. Troy Deeney looks like a hammerhead shark. That's what we established, right?
Yes, he does look. I mean, him as a hammerhead shark, Bellerin as Snoopy. There's a couple.
Yeah.
So how does the ball fly off his head when he goes for a header?
Man, he's got a lot of surface area.
Yeah.
A lot of surface area. And he can also see
if
he wants.
If it hits the corner, it's like a deflection.
That's true.
He can see a cross coming before anyone's seen it.
Yes,
vision is his vision on Football Manager.
99.
Not even 20.
He also adds a great deal of bite to the attack.
Nice. Him and Suarez would make a great couple.
Yes.
Are we through? No. One last one. Norwich 0, West Brom 1. Rondon scoring.
Good
great.
Adam.
Moving on, yeah.
Yeah, West Brom, to be fair, are getting a lot of wins recently, just under the radar because it's boring as hell, but they're getting their 3 points.
As soon as Pulis took over, I put their goalkeeper in my fantasy league.
Fabianski, is that?
Fabianski,
Swansea.
Plays for Swansea.
That's a complete moo-moo moment for me.
My hill.
No.
Boaz, my hill.
Exactly.
Well, speaking of moo moment, I think we should move on.
Yes, sir. Moo-moo. Off the week.
Off the week. Our first moo moo this week comes from Hong Kong, somewhere we have never been before, for a moo moo of the week. So that's refreshing.
Exciting.
This time, a toy company has produced a doll that looks like Bastian Schweinsteiger, but is in fact a German Nazi soldier.
Right.
So a couple of things are moo moo here. One is that they've made a doll that looks like Bastian Schweinsteiger without asking him. I mean, you know, that's the...
Not the worst thing that can happen.
No, but, you know, a bit stupid.
Yeah.
The more stupid thing is that they've made a Nazi doll. I mean, what are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, little kids are going to play with this action figure.
Yes.
But I'm trying to put myself in the person's shoes, the maker's shoes. And all I can think of is, well, I don't think they know what German people look like. But
no,
he must have
so
been a United fan.
Yeah,
because United have a big fan base in Hong Kong. He must have been a United fan. And he said, okay, well, Schweinsteiger looks pretty German.
I mean, he marshals that midfield pretty well.
He does.
Yeah.
But
he rallies the troops.
I'm not surprised that he's suing.
All right, our second Moomoo is from the Tottenham Bournemouth game.
Bournemouth.
Yes.
Dick.
So the Bournemouth PA, they were losing quite bad. And to be fair, he's a fan and he's upset. So he had some comments. The only problem was he still had the microphone on.
That old trick.
So everyone heard him say, you know, when Harry Kane scored his hat trick, say, it's like men against boys. It's effing unbelievable.
Love it.
And he heard it throughout the whole stadium. And... you know what? I wouldn't sack him. He's just showing passion. Just kind of remember to switch off the mic between stuff.
Yeah, just come up with an apology. It's fine. You
yeah.
know.
You might not sack him, but he is getting sacked in the morning.
He is getting sacked in the morning.
Poor guy. It's unfortunate because these lower clubs, you know, there's a lot more, how do you say, fan passion. You know,
yep.
they love their team a lot more. And to see him sacked for such a small move
yep.
is, it's a bit unfortunate.
Hopefully not. We'll see. We'll see. We'll let you guys know how that happened.
Speaking of lower league clubs.
Well, Bournemouth are.
We're gonna move on to Barnsley. Sorry, not lower leagues, but lower status clubs. Yes, exactly.
Right.
Barnsley had an incident.
Yes.
Mumu of the Week contender.
I like this one.
So the game had finished early in the afternoon on Saturday, and 7 hours later, a fan who had been asleep on the toilet in the stadium woke up and set off the motion detectors and had to be rescued by firefighters.
So that would be like, what, 9, 10 p.m.?
That's unbelievable.
At 10:30, he woke up, set off the motion alarm sensors, and the firefighters came at 11 p.m.
That's brilliant. He's famous.
It prompts so many questions.
Yeah.
I mean, one, did no one check at the end of the game?
But that's what people do. They go into the bathrooms and they take a look.
Is
everyone left?
But who did you go to the game with?
That's question two. Question three is, who sits down at a football stadium toilet? I mean, have you ever seen them? They are disgusting.
Yeah. But you know what? It's funny. I love that one. What about the people you went with? They just left without you.
So, how many beers did you drink?
Yeah. How much money did you spend?
Why did you need to go to the washroom? Everyone knows that, you know, the men's room in a public place, especially a football stadium, Oakwell Stadium in Barnsley, is probably not the most hygienic condition.
No.
But he has fallen asleep in that environment after God knows how many beers.
He
was there for 7 hours.
Here's my conclusion.
Pants down.
My conclusion to this is that if he'd had enough beers to fall asleep in the toilet, the mate that he maybe came with had enough beers to leave him behind.
All right, so in Europe, we're going to Spain, Riche.
Specifically Spain, yes, where the rain in Spain falls mainly on Ibar.
Yes.
And hopefully they had their iPhones in their lockers at the time.
That's good. Well, the rain was brought by Suarez, who scored a hat-trick.
As was the pain.
But it's not fair to call Suarez Rain Man.
No, it's not. It's not at all.
He certainly didn't refrain from scoring a bunch of goals.
Refrain! Okay, moving on from the weather forecast. Barcelona beat Ibar 3-1. Suarez with a fantastic hat-trick. Neymar with two of them at least assists. He's leading the world assists or something. Suarez is doing great. Everything
sure.
is rosy.
Well, the best part about this game was seeing Ray Hudson quiet and, you know, his star boy Messi wasn't playing, so he was a bit subdued.
Mm-hmm. I mean, sure, if that's the best part,
No, I'm totally just being ragging on Ray Hudson.
I enjoy hearing Ray Hudson.
I do. He follows me on Twitter. Okay, so I will not have any of this.
Dude, 90 minutes of Ray Hudson.
I know it can be a bit much, but...
But when you get those clips of that one amazing goal and he says, you know, that was as close as a frog's hair or something, that's fantastic. I love it.
Yeah.
Anyways, Suarez, a quick question before we move on from this game.
I have one too.
You want to go first?
Are there any hairy frogs?
The frogs have hair.
Okay.
No, they're not mammals.
Dude,
they're
not
amphibians.
Right. In the rain. They're flying around in the rain in this hair.
Flying frogs?
Here's a question.
Those
Suarez or Suarez or Lewandowski?
You have a football team.
You know what? Before I answer this question, this is a great question to ask.
Thank you.
When we first started podcasting, it was Aguero or Suarez.
Yeah.
Now it's Suarez or Lewandowski.
You mean when we started like 2 years ago?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
2 seasons ago.
Right.
I would pick Suarez because I feel that Suarez is better on the ball. I think that Lewandowski for a first-time finish is a better player. But Suarez can also first-time finish well.
Alex?
Lewandowski.
Yeah, you like the plan B aspect?
Yeah, he's plan A, he's plan B. He's probably got his own plan, so that's plan C. I don't know, I like him.
Cool.
I just like him.
Yeah, no, I kind of
And his name is a lot of fun to say.
Yeah, and he's not that... I mean, he's a star and everything, but he doesn't have that kind of... global attention around them or the you know that Suarez would have
he doesn't have the bite
he does
Suarez
all that
has.
Also putting my manager's hat on, he's a good few years younger than Suarez, so he's got resale value.
Very good. Arsene Wenger loves that.
Good job. Economist.
The top of the table clash though was Celta Vigo versus Real Madrid.
Yes.
This was a Ronaldo versus Nolito kind of game. And they both brought the goods, Ronaldo scoring and Nolito scoring, but the game ending 3-1 to Madrid, Marcelo having a great game attacking-wise, and Danilo, actually, they're both right and left-back for Madrid playing unbelievable games.
We should completely forget about all the attacking players in this game,
mm-hmm.
because The best player on the pitch by far, bar none, was Keylor Navas.
Folklore Navas.
You know what? I completely agree with you.
Keylor Navas, not for the first time this season either.
All season.
But yeah, he has had some siege mentality since he got to Real Madrid.
Well, since the De Gea thing.
Since the De Gea saga, he was crying, he was in the plane ready to leave.
You know what? At this point, as a United, I'm thinking my shoe, if I put myself in a United fan's shoe, I would not be that upset to lose De Gea and get Navas. Like, it's not the worst thing in the world.
It looks good in hindsight, but you know what? Keylor Navas is just on top of his game right now.
He is. And Nolito, after the game, they asked him, they're like, you know, tell us about the game. He's like, I don't know what to say. Navas stopped 4 goals, which I was already celebrating.
Yeah.
Real Madrid's defense is really good, but it's not because of Sergio Ramos. It's because of Keylor Navas.
That's true.
But
Varane helps.
Varane is good. Yeah. Well, he's okay. What it takes to beat Keylor Navas is an amazing strike by Nolito.
That was unbelievable.
No backlift, nothing. He just went. I love them when they're in the short post, not the far corner. Because those you curl them in, okay, whatever. But these ones, oh man, they look great.
So, how many days until Real Madrid buy Nolito?
Everybody wants him apparently. Barca, Madrid.
Oh, of course.
He's going to turn into the next Sergio Canales for sure.
But yeah. It's
he's had a bad life since.
He's old though, eh? He's 29.
Yeah.
Which Canales?
No.
Oh, Canales won't be up
Canales
there now.
Right now.
He was 16 5 years ago, so I would have said, whoa. Where has that time gone?
I mean, yeah. Ask Adam Johnson, he'll tell you.
True.
TFC preview. Moving on to the MLS. So, last game of the season, of the postseason, is that
regular
what you call
season.
It?
Regular season.
Post is after.
Yes.
Right, which makes sense because that's the definition of the word.
Yes.
Toronto are on 49 points, who are playing Montreal Impact on 48 points.
Oh.
If Toronto win, they could possibly move to second if DC and
Columbus
don't
lose.
Win.
Yeah, or die.
Yeah.
Which is unlikely.
But
it's one
possible.
Of them is
going
to get a result.
I mean, they messed it up last week when they lost 2-0 to Crew.
So basically, Toronto have already secured their playoff position.
Correct.
So it doesn't matter what happens in this game. But it is a Canadian rivalry game. But why they want to be in second place, for our listeners, is because they would get a bye in the first round of playoffs.
Correct.
Essentially.
Which is massive.
Yeah, but I don't know how much the MLSC would enjoy that because you get one less revenue in terms of TV money and game money if it's at home.
Yeah, they probably hate it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to the postseason with TFC because we've had, you know, the MLB postseason with the Jays. It was fantastic just to kind of see the city buzzing. So I really hope they also get behind it with TFC. The problem is, Bernie mentioned this in the week, is that it's a one-off game. I don't like that. I would love to. I mean, I don't, obviously not a 7 series because that would be insane. But if it was home and away, it would be way more exciting.
I believe that the first round of playoffs is a first leg, second leg. November 1st and November 8th are the reverse fixtures.
Really?
But Bernie was saying it was only a one-off.
I'm actually not certain about this.
Hmm. Well, we'll find out soon enough.
We will find
the
out.
Only thing about that would be that you'd end up finishing in like December.
Right.
And good luck playing in Toronto in December.
Oh,
but,
man.
Oh, that'd be brutal. That'd be a good
home. Even end of November.
Home advantage. No, but today's game, Toronto versus Montreal. Getting back to that. Drogba Giovinco is essentially, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Drogba has been great. And I'm not sure what the table looks like, but can Montreal drop out of the top 6?
Montreal...
That might be another factor.
They have more to play for today. They are the 6th playoff spot,
mm-hmm.
and if they lose and the team behind them wins, they will be out. So we could very well see Drogba come out on fire, intimidate the camera once again, and scare off all the viewers.
It would be crazy to see a Canadian team win the whole thing.
Yeah, it'd be great.
Yeah.
Shove that in MLS's face.
Yeah.
Yes.
It'd be really good to see Vancouver Whitecaps, who are doing exceptionally well in the West. The TFC, you know, the best player in the league, assists and
by
goals.
Far,
yeah,
by far,
the
by
Messi
far,
of the MLS,
by far, world class,
and Drogba, Drogba,
right up there with Jamie Vardy.
Oh.
Thank you for downloading the KoshCast. Get in touch at underthekoshblog@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at under_thekosh. And for articles, predictions, and the full experience, go to underthekoshblog.com.